Welcome to day 99 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are reading from the New American Standard Bible, and we will be reading from 1 Samuel chapters 4 through 8. So beginning at 1 Samuel chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in battle and camped beside Ebenezer while the Philistines camped in Aphek. The Philistines drew up in battle array to meet Israel. When the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, and from there they carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who sits above the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth resounded. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us! Who shall deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who smote the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Take courage and be men, O Philistines, or you will become slaves to the Hebrews, as they have been slaves to you. Therefore, be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. And the slaughter was very great, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers, and the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Now a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came, behold, Eli was sitting on a seat by the road, eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling for the Ark of God. So the man came to tell it in the city, and all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" Then the man came hurriedly and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today." And he said, "How did things go, my son?" Then the one who brought the news replied, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been taken." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell off the seat backward beside the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was old and heavy. Thus he judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was pregnant and about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. And she called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken." Chapter 5. Now the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it to the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. When the Ashdodites arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him in his place again. But when they arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Therefore neither the priests of Dagon nor all who enter Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Now the hand of the Lord was heavy on the Ashdodites, and he ravaged them and smote them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territories. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is severe on us and on Dagon our God." So they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistines to them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they said, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath." And they brought the ark of God of Israel around. After they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city with very great confusion. And he smote the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought the ark of the God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place so that it will not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly confusion throughout the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were smitten with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Chapter 6. Now the ark of the Lord had been in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us, how shall we send it to its place?" They said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but you shall surely return to him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then they said, "What shall be the guilt offering which we shall return to him?" And they said, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for 1 plague was on all of you and on your lords. So you shall make likenesses of your tumors and likenesses of your mice that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will ease his hand from you, your gods, and your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had severely dealt with them, did they not allow the people to go, and they departed? Now therefore take and prepare a new cart and 2 milch cows on which there has never been a yoke, and hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves home away from them. Take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you return to him as a guilt offering in a box by its side. Then send it away that it may go. Watch. If it goes up by the way of its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he has done to us this great evil. But if not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Then the men did so and took 2 milch cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. They put the ark of the Lord on the cart and the box with the golden mice and the likenesses of their tumors. And the cows took the straight way in the direction of Beth Shemesh. They went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they raised their eyes and saw the ark and were glad to see it. The cart came into the field of Joshua the Beth Shemite and stood there where there was a large stone, and they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord, and the box that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices that day to the Lord. When the five lords of the Philistines saw it, they returned to Ekron that day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned for a guilt offering to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron, and the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fortified cities and of country villages. The large stone on which they set the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. He struck down some of the men of Bethshemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck down of all the people 50,070 men, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. The men of Bethshemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God, and to whom shall he go up from us?" So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to you." Chapter 7. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the sons of Israel removed the Baals and the Ashtaroth and served the Lord alone. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." They gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them, so that they were routed before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more within the border of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. So there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He used to go annually on circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then his return was to Ramah, for his house was there. And there he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. Chapter 8. And it came about, when Samuel was old, that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abijah. They were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel, and when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked of him a king. He said, "This will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of fifties, and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest, and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Now after Samuel heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the Lord's hearing. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and appoint them a king." So Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Go, every man to his city." This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's Bible reading, we find another low point in Israel's history that can be summarized by the words that were spoken by the daughter-in-law of the priest Eli, Phinehas' wife, who was about to give birth when she heard the news that her father-in-law was dead, her husband had died in battle, and the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines. her words that the glory has departed from Israel were a very good summation of the spiritual state of the nation at this point. Though Samuel was rising in his prophetic anointing and in his reputation among the Israelites, at this point in history, though he would have been an adult by the time of this story, he was not being looked to as the leader yet because Eli, the high priest, was still alive, and the sons of Eli, Phinehas and Hophni, were still alive. So the story that we hear today of the defeat of the Israelites in the battle with the Philistines and then their decision to go and get the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle in Shiloh and bring it into the camp was a very ill-advised decision because it was not something God would have had them do. The Ark of the Covenant should not have been moved from that resting place in the tabernacle in Shiloh. In fact, they went to get it as if it was some sort of talisman or spiritual good luck charm for the battle. They were essentially copying a practice that was used by the Philistines, who would often carry the molten image of their god Dagon into all their battles. So they copied this same practice that the Philistines would utilize in a battle. So they sent for and received the Ark of the Covenant being carried by Hophni and Phinehas into the camp. And Israel shouted with a great shout because they were all excited to see this Ark of the Covenant, hoping that it would bring them good success in their battle. We see no evidence of the Israelites calling out to God. We see no evidence of prayer. When the elders say, "Why has the Lord not given us victory?" they don't even inquire of the Lord. We don't see them consulting the prophet Samuel. And it's very possible he wasn't even in the area at the time because we see no mention of him in this situation with the battle. And you heard the disastrous results. The Philistines kill so many of the Israelites. They capture the Ark of the Covenant. Hophni and Phinehas die in a single day, as was prophesied by a man of God some years before this, as part of the disaster that was going to come on the house of Eli because of their wickedness and their complete disregard for the things of God and the ways of God. And then Eli, the priest himself, keels over in his chair, breaks his neck, and dies at the age of 98. So distraught, not when he hears that his sons are dead, but when he hears that the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines. Such a tragic end to this high priest and his two sons. And then the state of the nation is brought to such a low point. The Ark of the Covenant is now in the hands of these idolaters, the Philistines. And they pursue a foolish choice when they take the Ark of God and put it in the temple of Dagon right next to their false god Dagon. This was a practice that the Philistines would often pursue. They always attributed their god Dagon the victories that they would win in war, that Dagon had basically conquered the lesser gods of these other nations that they were able to conquer in battle. So, considering that they just won over the Israelites, they decided that Dagon was more powerful than the God of the Hebrews. And as a way of demonstrating this, they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the house of Dagon. The only thing was that the Lord was not happy with that decision. And it says that the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them. And every time they would go into the temple of Dagon, in the morning, they would find that Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the second day that this occurred again, after they set him back up on his little perch, they found Dagon again had fallen down in front of the Ark of the Covenant and that his head was off of his body, and the palms of his hands were cut off at the threshold of the temple, and only the trunk of Dagon was in one piece. So this was a move of God to show that there was no superiority in their false god, of course, in comparison to the God of the Hebrews. So this truly put the fear of God into the Philistines and into the leaders of the Philistines, the lords of the Philistines, as they're called. And so they decided they needed to get the Ark of the Covenant out of their temple and send it somewhere else. Every time they sent it to a city, the curse of God would come upon the place. And it says that God smote the men of the city, so the tumors broke out on them. So now they have this horrific plague of tumors happening. And then we find out later, also a plague of mice was released into all the Philistine territory that was devastating the towns and villages. So they had a serious problem. And then they decide, we've got to get this thing out of here. And the ark is returned to Israel. But this whole story really shows us the level of backsliding spiritually that the Israelites have come to at this point. They don't inquire of the Lord before they go into battle. When they are defeated, they don't ask the Lord, what is the problem? What's wrong? They don't ask. They go and get the Ark of the Covenant like it's a good luck charm and take it in, thinking that this religious object will somehow cause them to have victory. So they have completely lost all relationship with God, with the one true God, with Jehovah. And they are just operating completely in the flesh and just trying to do religious things to get God's help. And they are so far from relationship with God. And we will find out in the next chapter, in chapter 7 tomorrow, as we read how the prophet Samuel really steps into the place of leadership after the death of Eli the high priest, his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were the priests that had no respect for God or the things of God, and Scripture tells us didn't even know God. So they could no more lead the people in relationship with God because they had none themselves. And so this low point that we have just heard today will begin to take a turn as the prophet Samuel steps into his place as spiritual leader in Israel. Today's passages really speak to me about the difference between relationship with God and religion, because the children of Israel in today's stories really show simply a practice of certain religious rituals or rites, looking to the Ark of the Covenant as some sort of religious object and operating with it as if it will somehow bring them good luck in a battle. We see clearly that the people, the leaders, have absolutely no relationship with God. There's no communication with God. And yet they are operating religiously. They talk about God. They say, why hasn't God helped us? Why has God allowed this to happen? Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? So we see there's still a sense of religion, but they have completely lost relationship. And this is the same today. Perhaps you were raised in a church family, a family that attended church, but you never really yourself came into relationship with God, and yet you practice certain religious traditions. Maybe you attend services at a certain time or do certain rituals that the church that your family raised you in pursues, and yet you feel far from God. And that's because religion and relationship with God are two completely different things. God made man for the purpose of having relationship, not so that he could impose upon them religious rituals that they could perform to please him. God wants relationship with you. He wants relationship with every person on the earth. But that's a choice that every man and every woman has to make in their own lives. We see this example of these people of Israel not in relationship with God, but aware of religious rituals that they can perform, but it didn't bring them close to God. It didn't bring them into any revelation of God's ways. They didn't have any understanding of God or His requirements because they didn't know God. And so today, consider your own relationship with God. Are you in a place where you are pursuing a relationship with God, communicating with God, wanting to hear from God, wanting to know His heart? That's a relationship issue. When you're in relationship with a person, you want to hear what they have to say. You want to know what's on their heart. You want to know what's on their mind. You want to share what's on your heart and on your mind with that person. So it is with the Lord and with you. God desires to be in relationship with you. That's why He created you. God created humans for family, not so that they could perform religious rituals to please Him. God's not interested in that. God is interested in your heart. God wanted the heart of the Israelites to be one with His heart, not to be religious people, but to be a covenant people, people in covenant relationship with God. Tomorrow's reading will take us to a new place in Israel's history where Samuel the prophet will be encouraging the people to turn their hearts back to God. So until tomorrow, this is Rita. I look forward to being with you again for day 100 of my Everyday Bible. God bless you and give you a victorious day. If you have enjoyed my Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.